Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
First of all, I just want to talk about the worship team. The message that they gave through the songs today, and there were a couple of them, because it goes along with what the Lord gave me. So I just want to say this. When there seems to be no way, we trust in you. God, you have the final say. You are the final say. Oh, if we only believe that.
That's right.
The other one was, I will build, this is another song, I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Amen. Do y'all get that? How many believe that?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, part of my testimony today is not what I went through, but what he took me through. And that's what I want everyone to understand today. Anything I say today, don't focus on the people. Focus on what God was doing through the whole thing. Okay? So let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, just take us to the depth, Father God, of your being right now. Where there are no longer any distractions in our heads, Father God, in our hearts. We ask, God, that you just pour through me right now, Father God, onto this body, your message of overwhelming love and your promise to always, always carry us through to the fulfillment of your will. We just thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, that made it possible. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen. Pastor asked me about 4 weeks ago if I would give a message on going through. And right away, the Lord just started pouring, and took me on this trip. And every day, like he would give me something. But something he gave me almost every day, and it could be in the morning, it could be in the restroom, it could be in a store, was the song, My Jesus, My Savior, There Is None Like You. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. Thank you, Jesus. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I love you. Forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise that I have in you. He's been giving me that song for 4 weeks, over and over and over. And he'll do that. You know, one thing I learned about the Lord is he's always pouring out. But are we receiving anything? We have to be open to receive what he wants to give. Well, I was raised in a home where we went to church every Sunday. My dad didn't go to church. He was a Christian Easter CNE person. But you know what? When I was a little kid, I used to jump in bed every Sunday with my parents. And my dad sang to me every Sunday of my early life, the old rugged cross. He would sing this. I'm a child. He sang that to me every single Sunday. And the other thing my father did for me, he showed me unconditional love. Unconditional love is where I learned from him first what unconditional, he was an unconditional loving person. When I was 17 years old, my father died like that. He was supposed to take me to camp that day, and he just dropped dead. And I went upstairs when I found out, and I said, God, thank you that it was my father that died and not my mother. That was the first thing I said. You know why? Because I love my dad. I loved him. I had no regrets about my dad, none. But I had regrets about my mother because I did not love my mother. And so the rest of my life, I had to learn how to love my mother unconditionally. Okay? So anyway, that's a word for somebody. Anyway, so I was active in the church. I sang in children's choirs from the time I was 8 years old. I sang in choirs, church choirs, all the way up. Even went on Strike It Rich in a choir. Remember that? Anybody remember that game show, Strike It Rich? Would you believe we went on there, our choir, and we sang Steal Away to Jesus? This back in the 50s. We were singing Steal Away to Jesus on a game show. Okay? And but anyway, music was always part of my life. Worship. I treasure worship. God treasures worship. He loves worshipers. He loves us to sing before him. And he doesn't care what it sounds like to people. Because what he hears is always beauty. So don't ever think you can't sing. Got it? Don't ever think you can't sing. Because when it's done to him, it's perfect and it's beautiful. Okay? Another thing I learned. Anyway, had a good life with the Lord and always loved church, had to go to church, always had to go to church. For some reason, I always had this, had to go to church. When I was in college, people didn't go to church. And I even went to the Catholics and said, you want to go to church? And they'd say, no. I go, you're Catholic, you have to. No, I'm not home. So I'd end up going to church by myself. But I had this thing, I always had to go to church. It was always inbred in me to go to church. So anyway, I ended up getting married, and I'm going to go through this real fast in a way and take you forward. I had two children, wonderful marriage. My husband and I started a business in the 70s. And anyway, when I was 44 years old, we were successful with our business. But I went through this depression. It was like, and it was my depression. People didn't even know it. And it was like, I didn't want to walk into a store. I didn't want to walk into a bank. I didn't want to talk to people or have people talk to me. And I'm in a company with 80 employees. And come to work and close my door because I didn't want them coming in. And I'm like, what is this? What is this? And it got to the point I couldn't sleep at night. And when I couldn't sleep at night, I went to my doctor. And I said, John, I don't know what's wrong with me. And I described to him what I just described to you. And the first thing he said to me was, Alice, you're okay. Because you are admitting that you have a problem. Okay? And they were such good words to hear that I was okay. Well, he gave me some medication to help me sleep. I think he gave me an antidepressant for a little while. And I get dry, so I'm going to need to drink. Anyway, I went on a search. And it was like, what is it that you want most of all? And what I wanted most of all was peace of mind. That's what I wanted. I said, God, I want peace of mind. So I went on search for peace of mind. One of the things I did was I came across this little book by Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom was a Dutch lady. And during the Hitler's time, her family would take hide Jews and help them to escape and everything. Her family ended up being caught, and all her father, sister, and her were put in the concentration camps along with the Jews. Okay, so that's her story. Her father was killed. Her sister ended up dying in the concentration camp, but she ended up coming out. She wrote this little book called Don't Wrestle, Just Nestle. This little book changed my life. Because what she did was she started talking about worry. And You know, the Bible says, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his life? Does that tell us anything? Worry does nothing for our life. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. When I was, the time that I lived in, worry was like, it was good to worry because it meant you cared. That was a lie of the devil. When I learned this secret that about worry, and you know what? Most of all, worry is a sin. Did you ever know worry was a sin? Do you know why it's a sin? Because it means we don't trust God. We don't trust God. When I understood the fullness of that truth, that worry was a sin, and that I didn't trust God, it changed my life. It just changed my life from that point on. When people worry, a lot of times what happens is they start telling other people, and then other people, oh, that's too, oh, I feel so sorry for you. Oh, that's, and what's it do? It just, you just go along with the pity party. And they stay in their pity party. You're not helping them. You're not helping them at all. And I just found this yesterday. You may worry yourself dead, but you'll never worry yourself happy.
That's right.
So next time you think the worry, tell it to get away.
That's right.
Get away. It doesn't belong there. The one thing I learned was when you worry, or when you have, well, I learned the difference too between worry and a concern. Concern is when there's something that you can actually do to help a situation. Worry, there's nothing you can do in that situation, so it's just a waste of time. So there is a difference between worry and concern, okay? The other thing is the Lord is there 24/7. All you have to do is go to him. It says in his word, because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. This is his word. He's there all the time. Your friends aren't there all the time. Your spouse may not be there all the time. He is there all the time. The other thing is, the word, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. How many times have you been shaken? Why do we get shaken? Because it has to do with not trusting him. When we replace worry with prayer, that's when we end up beginning to trust the Lord. When I try, I fail. When I trust, he succeeds. This was cute. I saw this. When a train is going through a tunnel and it gets dark, okay, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. What do? You trust the engineer. And that's what God's saying. Don't look at the situation. No matter what it looks like, don't trust the situation. Trust me. So then the Lord had given me the word Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This became my life verse. This is why I'm fearless. It's because of this word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And it has an S on it. Paths, not one path. Every path he will direct if you trust in him. That changed my life. This is when I was 44 years old. When you have trust, guess what happens? You have peace. Aha, with my search for peace? Scripture. I will lie down in peace and sleep for you alone. O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Another scripture. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Peace comes from trusting him. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Okay, now, this was when I was 44. This was all in preparation for what was to come 2 years later. 2 years later, my husband had said to me, we had this business, and just so you know, my doctor, when I had told him about my situation, he said he wasn't surprised that I was struggling because he said, with the way you and Ron have been working in the business all these years, it wasn't a surprise. And I just want to point this out. What happened was the business was controlling me. I was not controlling the business. The business was affecting me, okay? And anyone who has a business here, don't allow, or ministry, don't allow it to control you. God wants you to give it to him, okay? And then through that way, you can handle it. So that's what happened, and that's why when I learned to trust God and had peace, the whole business changed. Every day changed for me. It wasn't a burden anymore because it wasn't my burden. He lifted it off from me. So anyway, 2 years later, my husband went through the same thing, started crying to me and saying that every decision he was making was wrong and he didn't know what to do. And I just said, you know what? I go, you're going through what I went through 2 years ago. And I go, you know, I go see John, our doctor. And man, he lashed out at me with, how dare you think anything's wrong with me? Okay? And so anyway, and there was an open door that he opened, okay? And I don't want to get into that, but when we, and he was a man of God, he went to church every week, he was a leader in the church, okay? But when we allow a door to open, people, once it's open, and you don't know about the enemy and the demonic, okay, it has full reign. And we did not know back then about the demonic. I was not familiar, and I'm thankful that each one of you are in a church right now that's teaching you about the demonic realm, because I did not know about the demonic realm when I went through all this. But by the grace of God, he carried me through it in my ignorance. So I just want to let you know, once you open that door, okay, and you don't know about the enemy, he has full reign. And this is what's happened in our life. So anyway, so what happened was, instead of going for help, he ended up, midlife crisis, he was going to another woman that was in our business. And I confronted him about it, and we had a boat, we went to Catalina Island. I was in California at the time. You know the song, 26 Miles Across the Sea, Catalina Island, that's the place for me? Okay, that's where we went. And we had a troller. And we went over to Catalina Island. And we were in the troller. And we were inside, and I was sitting on the seat. And whatever was in my husband, which, like I say, I did not know about the enemy's spiritual things, I knew something was ugly. It was ugly. I didn't know what it was, but it was ugly. And for a couple hours, all he did was verbally torment me. I sat there, and if I said anything, whatever it was, got worse. So I said nothing. And I sat, and I didn't even look at it. And I say it because it wasn't it, okay? And I turned around, and I'm looking out at the water. And every hymn that I was ever taught, I was singing in my head, and this went on for a couple hours. Hymns saved my life. Hymns kept me sane. Hymns, the Word of God, okay, carried me through this time. Finally, he left the boat, and when he left the boat, he took the shore boat, and we had a dinghy. And when he left the boat, I got in the dinghy, and I left the boat, and I was crying. And the shore patrol came by and said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "Yeah." And they said, "Well, you know, you better tie up to a mooring because the ocean can take you out." So how God protects us in our ignorance? All the time, all the time. So I tied up to a mooring, and I just crying. And I go, "What is it you want, God? What do you want?" And he said, as clear as can be, "I ask Abraham to give up his son, and I am asking you to give up your husband." Now, I had just been verbally abused for hours. And do you know what I said back to God? "Would you consider changing your master plan?" See, I had so much love for that man. Do you see? And Lord answered me and said, "It's him or me." Well, when God said it's him or me, I said, "Well, God, if it's him or you, it's you. But with him is everything I know, my family, my friends, my church, my business, my whole life is wrapped up in him. Without him, I am nothing. So here I am, God. Take all of me and do whatever you want." That was the beginning of my life. It was a total, total surrender of everything in my life to him. When I went back to the boat, I was laying out there, and I had to go to the restroom. So I quietly got on the boat, went to the bathroom, and came back and got on the dinghy. But he had heard me. In the meantime, he had gone back. He came out, and he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm staying here." He said, "You can't stay there. You'll be soaked by morning." I said, "No, I won't. I'm staying here. Leave me alone." So he went back in the boat. People, the next morning, I was dry. I was dry. Now, I don't know if any of you have been in the ocean. You don't, there's not dry. There's moisture everywhere. I was dry. I got on the boat, and I quietly went to the top of the boat. And in Catalina, when you look at the mainland, you don't see the mainland. It's 26 miles away. You don't see it. I went up to the top of the boat, and I could see the mainland as clear as can be. And there were beams of light coming out of the sky. Beams, these unbelievable beams. And the Lord said to me, "Happy birthday, Alice." It was my birthday. And he gave me a present. Well, after this happened, when we got back home, ended up going to, I went to a counselor at the Crystal Cathedral, and I told him all the things were wrong with me, and he said, "I'd like to meet your husband." So I asked him if he would go see the counselor, and he said yes. And when we were with the counselor gave two rules. When he speaks, you say nothing. When she speaks, you say nothing. And so anyway, he spoke first, and I said nothing. And when I went to speak, whatever was in him manifested. The counselor was the only person that ever saw what I was dealing with. No one else knew. No one. So at the end of the session, he said, "I don't need to see either of you again, but I do need to see each of you separately. And he got up and stormed out of the place. I mean, just slammed the door, went. And I just sat there and didn't move. And then I got up and I walked out to the receptionist, and she said to the counselor, "Your next appointment canceled." And I looked at him and said, "Can I have that appointment?" And he said, "Are you up to it?" And I said, "I have to be." And I went back in the room with him, and I cried and cried and cried and cried. He kept saying, "You don't have to do this." And I said, "Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do." And afterwards, it was the first time I really said anything that had happened. And I felt it was like a betrayal, because I was saying it against my husband. And the counselor, after listening to me, just said to me, "Alice, you're all right. And you're going to be all right. And if you need to come back anytime, just give me a call. But you're going to be all right." So anyway, so we were still living together, and there were some things that happened that were, like I say, we had the enemy involved. And there were things that happened that, like, one time I was in bed with him, and I started getting cold. And it was like I started freezing. I mean, I was cold. And I turned over and I said to him, I go, "Are you cold?" And he said, "No." And it was like I got colder and colder and colder and colder. And I'm like, "Oh my God." And it was like, "Just get out of there." And so I just got out of the room. I ran out of the room. Once I went out of the room, I was fine. I didn't understand any of this stuff. But what I do know is the enemy can play. He can play in our ignorance. So when you're being taught protection, see, I knew nothing about protection, nothing about the blood of Jesus, nothing about taking authority, okay? So I just want you to know how important these things are that you're being taught in this body, all right? Thank you, Jesus. So anyway, there was a couple, this is going a little diverted here, but there's a couple that we knew. It was a doctor, eye doctor, and his wife. They were devastated when we ended up going through a divorce. And they wanted to meet with me. I love these people. They love me. They loved him. And they were devastated. We were talking one day, and the Lord had me share this thing about being cold. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit would just take over. Because I was so open. Just do what you want. And I shared this story with them about me being cold. And you know what she said? She said, "Oh, Alice, that happened to me 25 years ago." And she says, "I've never told anybody about it in my whole life." And she said, "My husband's the only one that knew." She says, "I was in bed and the same thing happened. And I got colder and colder and I didn't know what to do." And she said, "I just kept going like this, the cross." She said, "I kept going like this and I ended up running down to my husband." God released her. See, she had that for 25 years, all right? Never shared it with anybody. But because I shared it with her, she could share it with me, and she was released now. You see what God does? I mean, he loves us. He doesn't ever want to leave us bound with anything. Okay, I asked God when to insert this, and this is when I'm inserting it, he said. I always had a fear from the time I was a little kid. I saw this TV show, and don't tell me that things don't affect kids. I saw this TV show when I was a kid, and this woman was put in a mental institution, and she wasn't crazy. That stuck with me all my years. That fear, how could that happen? How could that happen? And it was like an underlying thing. Didn't dwell on it or anything, but it had been there, okay? So there was this big fundraiser. It was going to be at the Spruce Goose. I was part of an organization. I was vice president of a woman's organization. I was on the board of Chamber of Commerce, okay? So all these people knew me. And it was this big auction. And it was a black tie affair. It was very fancy. And my brother went with me. And we go in, we're at the auction, and it hadn't started yet, just socializing, talking to people and everything. And all of a sudden it was like, look up, and I looked up. And I saw this cloud. This cloud and Jesus. It was like, and it was Jesus is coming again. And somebody said, what? And I'm looking at the ceiling. I said, Jesus is coming again. And they go, what? And I kept saying, Jesus, I could see Jesus is coming again. And I couldn't put my head down. I could not physically put my head down. So the auction started. I could hear everything. I could not put my head down. Somebody would come up to me and say, you've got to stop this. And I'd say, Jesus is coming again. That's all I could do. Jesus is coming again. I could not put my head down. Well, they ended up calling the paramedics. So the paramedics came, and they walked in, and I didn't see them, but they introduced themselves. They said, what are you doing? And I said, Jesus is coming again. And then they said, do you know your name? And yes, and told them my name. They asked me all these things, you know, who's the president, what day is it, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I answered everything, but my head still, I could not physically put my head down. And so anyway, they asked me all these questions, and they said to the people in charge, there's nothing wrong with her. She's not going to hurt herself. She's not going to hurt anybody else. And if you people would just leave her alone, she wouldn't even be a distraction because she's not saying anything unless somebody says something to her. So I suggest you just leave her alone. And they left. In the meantime, I'm still looking up. And I could not put my head down, people, until the auction was completely over. When the auction was completely over, my head went down. Now you say, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean on your own understanding. How can you understand that? I can't understand that. But I know it was something I had to go through. God had a purpose. Well, obviously, because of that, some people thought I was crazy. So one day I went to leave my house. That happened on a Saturday. This was a Wednesday morning. I went to leave my house, and my husband had parked his car behind my car. And he told me I couldn't go. And I go, what do you mean I can't go? And so anyway, so after a discussion, we agreed that I could go, but he would go with me. And my car, I'm driving. So I said, I want to go see if the counselor's there. We went down there. The counselor wasn't there. And we're driving down the freeway in California, 405 freeway. And my husband said to me, I have an appointment at the hospital. And I need to go to Long Beach Memorial Hospital. So I said, okay. So we're driving down the freeway. And the Holy Spirit says to me, this is not about him. This is about you. Get that? So we get to the emergency room. I drop him off. I can leave. I have my car. I can leave. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go through this. So I park my car. I went up to the emergency room. They escorted he and I to a room. There was a guard outside the room. And when the door opened, the doctor said, at the time my name was Kotloff, the doctor said, Mrs. Kotloff, we've been waiting for you. Now, just think about this, people. I had this fear from when I was a little kid about being framed and put in a place, okay? Had the Holy Spirit not spoken to me on the freeway, on the way to that place, do you have any idea what I would have done at that moment? I would have been hysterical. I would have freaked out, and I would have been a crazy woman. Do you think I can trust God with anything? You better believe it. I trust God with everything. That is why I am fearless, because I walk through that situation, and he carried me through. So I get in there, and the doctor takes my blood pressure, and my blood pressure is 212 over 98. That was fear. I was afraid of this, whatever was going on with my husband. I was afraid of it. It wasn't him, but it was something. I just knew it wasn't right. So the doctor said, I suggest that you come and rest in here. So I say, fine, because I need to get away from this person. So anyway, so I signed myself in, and I thought, you know, Long Beach Memorial Hospital. Well, it turned out it wasn't in the hospital. It was this building across the way from it. And this is where they have people that aren't completely stable. Anyway, I go in there, and I get to meet these different people. And this wasn't like a real psych ward. These were people that were depressed, oppressed, lifeless. Nothing wild or crazy. It wasn't that type of mental ward. It was more of a low-key people. And so I start talking to the different people and start learning a little bit about their lives and stuff. And I'd say, well, that's not what God thinks about you. So I start talking to these people about the love of God and how special they are and all that type of thing, okay? So I'm making a relationship with all these different people. And so anyway, at the end of the day, I meet with a psychiatrist, and we'll just call him Dr. O. And he told me that I was a manic depressant. And he told me he was going to put me on medication for manic depressant, and he was also going to put me on halogen for a sleeping pill. And I said to him, I'm not taking any pills. And I didn't know at the time I didn't have to take any pills. Okay? I'm telling you, God carried me through this in my ignorance. I knew none of this stuff. So the next day, I get up, and it's terrible because these people are drugged. Like, they wanted to drug me. And they don't have breakfast till like 9:30. They have a great courtyard, but they don't open the courtyard for people to go out until later. There's no activity. There's nothing for them to do. So here I am, born again Christian. Hi, I mean, I had this experience with God and Catalina, so you know I'm sold out here. So anyway, so I start talking to them and saying, you know, like, you know, exciting things. And I go, do you guys know any hymns? You know, so we started singing. And then, and I said, does anybody know any jokes? You know, and they start telling jokes and then are laughing. And all of a sudden, and you know, when we enter a place and the Holy Spirit's in us, you know, we usher him in, don't you? Yeah. Right? So see, I ushered him into that place. Okay. All of a sudden, these people that were like zombies the day before, they're all happy, and they're walking around, and they're talking, and they're like all excited. And the psychiatrist sees me that night. And the Lord says to me, share some of your supernatural experiences. So I shared some of my supernatural experiences. Do you know what happens when you share supernatural experiences with a psychiatrist? Tonight I'm a schizophrenic. Okay? Manic depressant day before, now I'm a schizophrenic. And I'm really messed up, and he says, it's humanly impossible for you to be all right. And I go, you're right. It is humanly impossible for me to be all right. Okay? And of course, I refused medication. Oh, and I forgot this one minor detail. And he said to me, you are causing a commotion in this place. And if you don't stop it, I am going to put you in isolation. So the next morning is Friday. And I get up and I do my normal thing. My normal thing was, I was up before everybody, was to walk around where the nurse's station was and sing quiet hymns. And I told them I used to do that where I live, so it wasn't strange to me. And I was quiet, and the nurses, they were cool. They'd give me a big smile. Anyway, this day, I have to be quiet, or I'm going in isolation. So I sit at a table, and it was always a big room. It's a big room. Everybody's in the same room, okay? It's like 20-some people. So our friends start coming in. One at a time, you know, they're coming in. And of course, they come up to me, right? And I say, and I'm not looking at them, I said, I just want you to know that I met with Dr. O last night, and he told me that I was being a bad girl, and that if I kept it up, he was going to put me in isolation. But that doesn't mean that you can't still sing and have fun. I just can't do it with you. So just have fun. Just go for it. And they did. And the nurses would look over at me and I'd go. So that night, when I say night, it's like 4 o'clock. Dr. O and I meet. And Dr. O comes in. And I say, Dr. O, for 2 days, I've been listening to you. Today, you're going to listen to me. And Dr. O went. And this may not be nice, but this is what I did. Damn it, Dr. O, look at me. And Dr. O looked at me. And I said, Dr. O, let me tell you something. There is one great physician, and it is not you, Dr. O. And what you are doing to the people in this place is a crime. All you're doing is drugging them, drugging them, drugging them. You are doing absolutely nothing for them to get help. I said, there's no activity. There's no music. There's absolutely nothing. You're just, I said, it's like a prison here. And you know what he did? He goes, you are really sick. And he got up and he ran out of the room. Now you tell me who's sick. Okay? So I go to the phone and I call my doctor and I tell him that I'm ready to leave. And he said he would come over after his office hours were over. And he came over and he said, I don't know what Dr. O's going to say about this. And I said, you know what? I don't think you have much to worry about with Dr. O. And anyway, and when I also said while I was in there that I was going to write a book, okay? Not me, but the Lord put it. I was going to write a book. So anyway, he ended up calling my husband. He picked me up. And I'm not going to go into the details of all this, but walking through that, let me know who he is. No one can ever take away from me anything. No one can ever hurt me again the way I was hurt because I learned to trust him. And let's see here. Oh, I have to share this with you. There was a lady in there that I got to meet. She was a spirit-filled Christian, and I met her right away. The Lord put her with me to help teach me. Okay, because she knew I didn't know anything, okay, about anything. And make a long story short, I ended up getting her out of there. There was not a darn thing wrong with her except she was being drugged. And I had permission of her son and everything. She ended up going back to her house in Catalina, playing the violin, back in church and everything else. See, God always has a reason, not just for me, but there's always a reason. There's somebody else, too. The other thing, there was a man there, and this man never said a word, never said a word. And when I went to leave, all these people started coming up to me because we had a relationship. I loved them. I showed them God's love. For the first time, they had love, love, love. And they were loving each other. This man came up to me. He put his hands on my shoulder. And he looked straight in my eyes. And he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And he said the whole prayer. I will never forget that moment as long as I live. And every single person in there will never forget that moment as long as they live, including nurses and everybody else. And his daughter happened to walk in the door when that was going on. This is our God. This is our God. He can do everything and anything that he wants to do. And this is a scripture that I have called you by your name. And this is for every one of us. You are mine. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. This is his word, people. He has given us his word. He has given us his promises. And, okay, as time went on, my husband ended up, I went to an apartment. He ended up moving out. I ended up moving back in the house again. While we were going through a divorce. But our church, and at the time I was in a Methodist church, and they had a singles conference at the church. And after the singles conference, the pastor invited me over to their house. And I said, you know, I just have this strong feeling that I'm supposed to be alone right now. So I just need to be alone. And so I got in my car, and I said, "What do you want, God? Where do you want to take me?" And I got in my car, and I started driving. And in Cypress, California, they had a Forest Lawn Memorial Park where I lived, or used to live. I wasn't living there at the time. And I drove into the Memorial Park. And it was like the Holy Spirit was guiding my car where to go. And I was just had no idea, just kept walking around, or driving around, and came to this place to stop and park. I parked over here. I turned around this way. I walked up some steps, and there was an opening, and there was a garden, and do you have that picture that I gave you, Jenny? And that's what I saw. I walk into this garden, and there's this is in front of me, this humongous, it's a huge statue of Christ, huge, like this platform. And underneath of it was a coffin, a humongous cement coffin. And I stood in front of that, and the Lord said, "It's time to bury Ron." And it was like, wow. And so I buried him and said goodbye. And then I went and sat down at this bench. There was a bench there. Oh, and by the way, I didn't mention this earlier. I told you I was going to write a book. Well, one day I was in this little restaurant that I used to go to, little neighborhood place. And the Lord started pouring stuff out of me. And I said, "Dude, you have something to write on?" And they gave me a paper bag. And I started writing on a paper bag. Then napkins, okay? It was pouring out. It was the beginning of my book. You are special too. So everywhere I went, I had something to write with. So here I am at Forest Lawn, and I wrote the poem, and it says, "Lord, this isn't me, this is him flowing through me. I didn't think anything. This is like, I am writing as fast as I can." Rejection. Hurt as ugly as it could ever be. Stripped of self-esteem for all the world to see. Eyes of sullenness with vision dim. Grasping for a lifeline, not to sink but swim. Illogical, irrational, unloving and cruel. Nothing even close was ever taught in school. Unloved, undesirable, imperfect, unclean, you wake up to a stranger and you're no longer a human being. And what is left is an empty shell, a story even too painful to tell. So you live with the guilt of losing your spouse, and you turn into yourself and feel as a mouse. Small and useless and not liked by most, and the rat race of life begins to coast. No matters, nothing matters or plays an important role, so you give it all up and you crawl in your hole, quite desperate and clinging, trying to reach for someone with wisdom who knows how to teach, to provide you the answer in a cute little box. And all that you can find is that the box has a lock. There's nowhere left but to go to God above. And finally, relief comes as he showers you with his love. There is no answer for rejection except. And then the other one, right after that, poured out. Grief. A tremendous finality. The loved one is gone. Not a movement on earth, not even a song. To let go is painful with numbness throughout. The body collapses as the other life moves out. A half-empty shell remains in its place, an expression of sorrow all over the face. The eyes appear hollow. The voice cannot speak, no breathing is felt, no blush in the cheek. A moment of death takes total control, no life functions working for there's no longer a role. But those with his glory feel life in the heart, and a feeling comes of hope instead of falling apart. With hope comes life, and you rise to the Lord, and you take that small step and reach out to the world. They were the two poems God gave me that day. Rejection and grief. And I've shared some things that the Lord had done with me. Right after my divorce, I knew I was going to go somewhere. And I thought it was going to be to an Asian country. And I was in a restaurant with somebody one day, and they mentioned the name Haiti. And I go, "That's it." And they go, "That's what?" I said, "That's where God's taking me." They go, "What?" And I go, "That's where he's taking me." My house was up for sale at the time. I went home. I sat at my kitchen table, and I said, "Now that you told me where I'm going, you're going to sell my house, huh?" That afternoon, a realtor came who never saw my house yet and bought my house. I'm telling you, he's amazing. He's amazing. So now he tells me to go to Haiti. So I ended up getting a ticket to go to Haiti, and he said, when I say he, it's like you, it's a knowing. It's not a verbal yet sound, but it's like you just know. God's pouring stuff into you. He goes through, you know, you just know. And it was like, buy a first-class ticket from Miami to Haiti. I have never bought a first-class ticket in my life before, never bought a first-class ticket since, okay? But he told me, buy a first-class ticket from Miami to Haiti. So anyway, so after my divorce was over, I ended up going to Haiti. And you didn't need a birth certificate then. You could just use, I mean, a passport. You could use a birth certificate. And I had a birth certificate. And at the last minute, I changed my purse. So I'm on the plane, and I realize I don't have my birth certificate. So I get off the plane, and I say to people, does anybody know where there's a hotel around here? And somebody said, there's a hotel in the airport. So I had gone to the airlines and told them what happened, and they told me that if somebody had brought the birth certificate to the airport, they could put it on the plane the next day, and they would bring it. So I called back home, told the person. They took it to the airport, and it was going to arrive the next day on an airplane. But I had to stay overnight. So this is in the morning. It was an all-night flight. So in the morning, when we get off the plane, I go to the hotel. And there's this black man there with an accent. And I go up to him and tell him the situation, and I tell him that I'm going to Haiti. And he says, why are you going to Haiti? And I told him, the Lord told me he was going to use Haiti someday to have something to do with world peace. And he says, God told my mother that like 20-some years ago. And he goes, well, where are you staying? And I go, I don't know. He goes, what? And he goes, you can't go to Haiti and not have anywhere to stay. That's not a country you just go to. And I go, oh. He goes, I'll tell you what. I'll call my brother, and I will have my brother meet you at the airport and have my brother take you to a motel. See, in my ignorance, does God take care of everything? Purposely, I had to leave that birth certificate there because I could not have gone to Haiti by myself without a place to stay. It's amazing. It's amazing. So anyway, so I get it. The next day, I get on the airplane. I'm in first class now, remember. And there's this, it's empty. First class and, you know, going to Haiti is empty. Okay. And so so there's a doctor. He's right there. And he starts talking to me. And I'm in first class, right? So why am I going to Haiti? Business. Are you going to Haiti on business? I went, well, sort of. And he said, are you a missionary? And I went, well, sort of. And he said, are you going for personal reasons? I went, well, sort of. And he goes, do you know why you're going to Haiti? And I said, because God told me to. And he said, oh. A friend of mine, God just told him to return to Haiti. You'll have to get to meet him. Where are you staying? Well, I don't know yet. So I tell him my story. So he gives me his name and his phone number. After you find a place to stay, call me. So now I have a doctor. A doctor with a name and a phone number. And I have somebody meeting me at the airport to take me to a place. But God. So then I get to the airport, and you know that doctor made sure that I was met and taken care of before he left? The reason the Lord is having me share this with you today, I believe, is because the book of Acts is still alive. It's not back in the time of the disciples and Paul. I believe that God is growing this church in his will. But in order to do his will, we have to give up our will. Another place he took me was Jerusalem. Oh, and by the way, I went to Haiti 12 times. The first 2 years, I spent 8 months in the first 2 years. And I went there 12 times. The last time I went, it was a major crusade outside the palace. And it was all the pastors of the country. The Lord introduced me to a pastor on the first trip. And he and I, that was the connection. And then he ended up having connection throughout the entire country. And when that crusade was put on, it went to all the islands. It was a three-night crusade. And it was also radioed in all the islands, including Miami. Oh, see what the God can do? With a nobody. A nobody. They didn't even know my last name. Everybody called me Sister Alice. I was a nobody. And there are other things that happen that I can't share because I could get somebody else in trouble, so I'm not going to do that. But let me tell you, God is powerful. Another thing he told me to do was... I remarried. I was married for 21 years to my second husband. 22 the first time, 21 the second time. I married somebody who was a non-believer, and you'd say, what? When I met this gentleman, his heart was open, and I saw it. And then his heart closed up. And it turns out he was an atheist. And it was like, ooh, I don't even like him. And the Lord would say to me, I want you to love this man unconditionally. And I'd say, I don't even like him. He grieves my spirit. And the Lord would say, I want you to love this man unconditionally. So for 2 years, this man was Jewish. Tool and die maker from Brooklyn, New York. What kind of personality do you think he had? Black and white. No gray. So for 2 years, I listened to this man. And one day, I was sitting in his house, and I said, you know what, Maury? And I won't use the word I used, but you're upset with God. You need to tell him. And he started screaming at God. Screaming at God. And I was there like praying in the spirit. Okay, I knew about that at that time, didn't know it way back. But anyway, I was praying in the spirit, and he went on and on and on yelling at God. And when he was done, I said, Maury, I guess you're not an atheist anymore. And you know what? It was a habit then. And we'd go somewhere, and he'd say something, and I would kick him under the table. And then we'd get in the car. Wouldn't embarrass him there, but in the car, I'd say, Maury, you're not an atheist anymore. You cannot say that anymore. It's a lie. It's a lie. You have to stop saying that. And that was the beginning of his, salvation. Okay? We ended up getting married after 3 years. And he was older than me, 29 years old. And people, oh, you must have had a bad father, right? No, my father is my favorite person in the whole world. And anyway, I was married to Maury for 21 years. When I married Maury, and it was God, God chose this man. I did not choose this man. This was God's choice, okay? And I said to Maury when I married him, God is first in my life. If you mess with that, you lose. Is that understood? And he honored my God all the time. He honored my God. See, sometimes we think we know people, But we don't. God knew his heart. There's people going around saying they're Christians. They don't honor God. They're not even living the rules that God has set out for us. But people say, oh, they're Christians. But see, God knows the heart. So anyway, I will say that Maury did accept Jesus Christ at 98. And in this church, he started coming to this church the last year of his life. And God can do anything. God can do anything. So after Maury died, I went to Jerusalem. And I had this. Let me see where it is. I just want to read this. I did little notes to everybody. I am now official. Today I purchased my bus and train pass, a local phone, and a pair of sandal walking shoes. Tomorrow I am going to venture out on a bus to look for a room. Oh, sorry about this. Before I went to Jerusalem, Connie Culver, she's in this church right over here, she knew that the Lord told me to go to Jerusalem. I sold my house. It sold in 17 days for cash, okay, with a 30-day close. And Connie had shared with a Bible study about me being sent to Jerusalem by the Lord. And somebody in that Bible study knew somebody in Jerusalem. So to make a long story short, how God just orchestrates every single detail. And they said, don't go to Jerusalem without having a place to stay. Like Katie, right? You'd have thought I'd learn that lesson. Anyway, so I went on the internet and I found this woman who had a room. And it was all set up for like weeks, okay? And when I'm ready to leave to go to Jerusalem, like days before, she Skypes me and tells me that the person's not moving out of the room. And I can't stay there. So most people would say, well, I just can't go, right? And so it's like, she said I had to have a place. So I looked and found a hotel, and I booked a hotel for a week. So when I went there, okay, they told me what to do. So this is after I'm in the hotel. So I'm now official. I purchased all these things they had asked me to do. And the next morning, I'm going to go to this place near German Colony to look for a room that I saw in an ad. One small challenge was, when I went from getting all these things that I purchased, my phone was stolen before I got to the hotel by the cab driver. So now I have no phone connecting me to the United States, but I do have a laptop. So this is, wow, what a night. With my phone stolen, I had to use my laptop to take care of notifying my bank, AT&T, etc. Thank you for my friend back home. As things came to my mind, she took care of things. At 2:30 a.m., I was unable to use my laptop. It would not go on. At 3:30 a.m., I went down to the reception desk, but they were not able to help me. Now I have no communication with the United States. Also, I was to take the bus trip and leave by 9 a.m. I'm very tired and have no way to communicate. I said this, okay, God, I need a word from you. As I could feel anxiety rising up, he gave me Psalm 46. And let me just go to that real quick. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. Okay? I mean, when he gives a word, he'll give the word appropriate to the situation if you ask, right? So I got up at 8 o'clock eating breakfast, ready to go on my bus trip, when Denise called. Now remember, I did have the Israeli phone that I had bought, okay? And I had given her that number. And she called me and says, her roommate changed her mind and is leaving Monday. Thank you, Lord, I have a room. See, if I had worried, do you see how that, it would have been a waste of time because God already had it taken care of. You see? Amazing. So anyway, Denise and I met later for some fellowship. And then she took me to a computer store, and he took care of everything. And I had gotten a new computer that I didn't know how to work and ended up having computer lessons in Israel. And there were people in Israel that I met that that God had me help. I was there for people, okay? And I don't have time for all that, but my whole point is wherever God takes you, wherever he plants you, there's going to be a reason for other people. So always be ready for that divine appointment that he's going to give you, because he's going to give it to you. So my question is, what must you believe about yourself? That God has called and anointed you for your purpose. That your dependence has to be on him and not your self-reliance. None of us are good enough. None of us. God, has God given you a vision, a direction of where he wants you to go or what he wants you to do? Can you see yourself leaving everything behind if he says, follow me? Think about it. See, those disciples, he said, follow me. He said, you couldn't even take time to bury the dead. That's how serious he was about following him. Are you able to trust him with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding? Are you still questioning him? Are you still questioning why? I love this. Do you love the grace of God more than you love your own life? Think about that. As Jesus walked through what he walked through, Jesus forgave as God's grace was greater than his suffering. God's grace was greater than his suffering. God's grace carried me through everything. I have no remorse. I have no unforgiveness. I am a happy person. He gave me this song. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, but I know he watches me. And he watches every single one of you the same way. Jeremiah 29:11, you know it, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you do not know. And would you, Jenny, the scriptures? And I just want everybody to read these scriptures for yourself. Are you going to put them up here? There you go. Okay, you want to all say that? My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. From him. Jeremiah 17:7-8. You have that. reads, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. If your faith is strong, there is nothing that can shake you." Nothing. In the drought, you still produce fruit. Whatever's happening in our country, whatever you think is going to happen, none of it matters. Keep your eyes on Him. Trust Him. No matter what happens, He is going to carry us through. Period. We don't have to understand how, why, or when. He will do it. That's His word. And He doesn't go back on His word. And this is what He said for us to do. Mark 16, 15, 18. You get that? "And He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons.'" And He says, we will cast out demons, the same as Jesus did. It's real, people. And thank God that we have a church that is letting us know truth. "They will speak with new tongues." And I want to say this. I didn't know about tongues, knew nothing. And I went to a church on Christmas Eve, okay? This started in August with my husband. In December, we were still married, not living together. I went to a church on New Year's Eve. They asked if anybody wanted prayer in the beginning of the service before it started. I went up for prayer. They started praying for me, and this stuff started pouring out of my mouth like you could not believe. I did not know what it was. I went, "Oh!" And they went, "No, no, no, no. Let it go, let it go, let it go." Next thing I know, I was on the floor. I was slain in the spirit. Didn't know what any of that stuff was. Okay? But God did. And I had said, remember, whatever you want to do with me, do it. I was free, open to receive all that He wanted to do. That's how I got tongues. And then the other thing I learned is the will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not protect you. He will always protect you. If He's taking you there, He will walk you through it and protect you. And then He just gave me this on Wednesday, and I'm going to leave this with you. And Lee, you want to come up here? Lee's going to be doing our altar call today. And God gave me this word on Wednesday. And just think about this, because this is what He's looking for. Can God trust you to fully trust Him? I'm going to say it again. Can God trust you to fully trust Him? If you want to be used by God, He needs to know that He can trust that you trust Him. God bless you all. I just thank you, Lord, that anything, Father God, that you want to be received is received, sealed in the name of Jesus Christ, and there's no retaliation on anyone in the name of Jesus. Lee.
Amen. 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 Thank God for the word of God. This is what's going to keep us. The word of God. Alice made it plain. This was a living vision right before our eyes that we cannot deny. Once you see it, you can't shut it out. Once you hear it, you cannot turn it off. This message will be held before us when we meet God. He'll either say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," or, "Depart from me, I know you not." And it comes from what Alice shared with us. I surrender all. There cannot be a hidden agenda somewhere. So God, I'll let you come in the living room, but don't you dare go in the basement. He wants it all. I surrender all. God is so good. He makes it easy. If there's a part that you're hiding from God that you think he don't know about, shame on you. He knows. He knows. So I'm letting you know that we have to surrender all. We ask in those who know there's an area you need to surrender on every cause of our life. Are you willing to give him all? Are you willing to say, "God, I'm going to sell my house with no place to stay when I get to the destination that you're telling me"? Are we going to trust him that much? Because I'm going to tell you, God, in our prayer this morning, it came up that God is a detail man. Now, I don't know all about cars and stuff. My husband, he's into that, the van, the car, and all of that stuff. But the little details, I said, "It looks okay." He said, "Oh, no, there's a little something over here we got to get." So there's a little something over here that God wants from you. Now, I'm going to tell you, I was in my bed last night. And out of the blue, not out of the blue, God gave it to me, brought to my remembrance. Because I was a churchgoer all my life. My father was a country preacher. And the song that he gave to me was, "I Surrender All." I said, "Now you know that's God. I hadn't thought of that in years." Joe was sound asleep, so I got up. And I looked for an old hymn book. It says, "All to Jesus I surrender." You can come up to the altar. Come to him. We're asking the elders if you want to come up and stand, and anyone that want to come. The song said, "All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his present daily live." Alice told you it was a daily walk with him. And it's all to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly predators, forget about that. Forsake them and say, "Jesus, take me now. I'm surrendering all to you. I want to make you my Savior. And I want to fill your Holy Spirit." Without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be able to do it. Because you know what we want to do? Lean to our own understanding. I'm going to think this through. I'm going to work this out. But if you leave it to Jesus, you will have peace that surpasses all understanding. All to him I surrender. All to him, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. God, I'm not going to have any closed doors. I'm not going to have a hidden agenda that said, "Well, God, if this don't work out, you know I got plan B working." He doesn't want that. He wants you to surrender all on every agenda, on everything. God, I I give you my heart wholly. From the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, God, I want to be yours. I want God to feel that he can trust me. As the songster said on last night, when ain't nobody looking, that's your character. When the night is dark, or you a long ways from home, and you say, well, I'm in a city that nobody knows me. I want to feel that in the midnight hour, God can say, go out on the street. And my husband and I have done this in our neighborhood. It was people dying on our block in our area. And one night, pastor said, right here, God has given you an assignment and you're not doing it. And I know God had told me to get up and pray on my street. And I said, God, I'm going to look foolish. But can I tell you, because of the obedient and humbling myself to God, we got out on the street and another young man in this church came and joined us. And can I tell you, people are still living and ain't died on that street no more. Because of surrendering to Jesus Christ and not ashamed of the gospel of God. So if you have a hidden corner that you want to release and say, God, here I am, take me now. If Jesus had to do it, what about you? What about us? Because the bitter cup was before him to go to the cross. But he humbled himself and said, God, not my will, but your will be done. And it was because of love. So let us come today boldly to the throne of grace and say, God, I surrender every agenda and give it to you. And we're going to bless God today that it shall be done, that it will be done. We speak it in the atmosphere that, Satan, you have no hold here. We are giving it all to Jesus. So, God, we surrender. We have children that we're putting before you. So we are surrendering them to you also. And let your will be done in my life. The altar is open. There's no blockage here. You can come freely to the throne of grace and say, Lord, let your will be done in my life. And I surrender in Jesus' name. And we say, thank God. We say, thank God. You know where you are in him. If you're satisfied, if he's satisfied, that's all that counts. So we're going to say yes to him and let your will be done. And we thank you as you leave this place and not leave God with a song in your heart that say, I surrender all to you. We're going to count it done. In Jesus' name, we say thank God. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless. God bless, God bless, God bless, God bless. You can consider yourself dismissed. If you want to come to the altar, it is open. The waters are flowing. Amen.